Ross Tucker coming up in 1 hour's time. Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. It's been an interesting week in Berea. And, of course, not only do we have the Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers coming to town, but the trade deadline awaits next week as well. Where will this team be 1 week from now? Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it with their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every episode. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So, you threw something out there at the end of this segment. When it comes to Jameis, we do have a couple calls on this. If you guys want to hop in on it, 216-474-0092. Is there a path moving forward for Jameis Winston to be the starting quarterback beyond the rest of this year? Now, you had said specific to Sunday.
Yeah.
Can you throw your hypothetical by me again?
Because, like we sort of alluded to, if there was really some conversations inside the organization that people were kind of growing tired, if you will, of Jameis and his sort of his antics and the way he does things.
And by the way, that was before the Baltimore game, so that we have not heard any of that since, coincidentally.
Right. So is that what it's based on, though? Like, the second he looks like just kind of the risk-averse Jameis that's going to cost you games, even if you win, is that where it goes back to like, yeah, I don't know that we can really keep rolling with this guy, and that's where things change? Or is it just based off of like, if they're winning football games, which is what people were sort of attributing to Deshaun at the time, right? It was, if they win football games, who cares that he plays as a quarterback? Like, is that enough, or does he have to give you more of like what you saw against Baltimore for them to really like commit to him long term? And maybe it's not just like a this weekend conversation. Maybe it's like a by the end of the season conversation, if he really plays it out. Like, is that the thing that it rests on? It's like, well, yeah, we started the season 1-6, and we end up finishing 8-9 because Jameis did some nice things at the or because the team sort of turned it around. But Jameis was just okay. Is it kind of like, does he have to play at the level he did against Baltimore and win games, or is it just like, is winning just enough for them to convince themselves like, yeah, well maybe we'll bring this guy back next year?
It's the PJ Walker principle, right? It is, you can play poorly and still be the quarterback if you're winning. But the second that you play, or the second that you start losing games, the numbers have to look really good. And I think it's going to be tough for people to evaluate Jameis, because I think he is going to be, he's Mr. Yardage. You know, like I think we sometimes conflate with, well, there were a lot of extended drives. I think you have to judge him off, are you scoring, right? Are you adding more points to the board than you're taking them off the board or giving to the other team? And I don't know the perfect answer on that. I tend to think two turnovers. If you're turning the ball over two times a game or less, and you're getting two touchdowns or more per game, that's the theory plus win. But if you're one touchdown, three interceptions, and it's a loss, well, the DTR thing's gonna all of a sudden open. If it's three touchdowns and interception and you lose, well, you weren't the problem. Does that, like, it is a sliding scale that there's not, like, a perfect thing.
And it's kind of ironic, because this is kind of the conversation we were having with Deshaun at the beginning of the year, right? Where it was like, is it more about winning, or is it more about how Deshaun plays? And it's kind of the same thing with Jameis at this point.
It's such a freer conversation, though, because we no longer expect to make the playoffs, and we don't have 230
million. Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It was like, it's different, though, now. Like, the timing is different, because we know where this team is at. We're already kind of not expecting them to make the playoffs. So if they were to somehow make a miraculous run to the postseason, it would just be like a cherry on top of all of this. But it's just kind of being able to be like, okay, now we can just kind of evaluate the quarterback position and see what this thing is. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, if Jameis plays some games like he did on Sunday, others where he's the throwing it up into coverage and gets picked off, and he has some just completely boneheaded plays that we know are just going to be sort of characteristic with him, and they maybe lose, I still think that's a quarterback that you can look at and say, we can bring this guy next year back next year as like a bridge to whatever potential rookie that we draft or whatever, and then kind of run with it from there.
So I think it's winning, playing well, and again, that statistical thing. Here's the other thing. I don't know everybody buys all of what Jameis sells, right? Like, I don't know how much of the Jameis, and when I'm talking about the messaging with the media, the TikTok stuff, if you guys haven't followed, his TikTok is funny as hell. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But, you know, I think there is an element with Jameis that I think there's been a consistent question. I even have it. Like, what if this is real and what if this is a facade?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, when we talked with Jameis after he signed in March, there was nothing about that that felt like a facade.
Yeah.
It's not. He felt like a real dude. It was a great conversation. Now, when I see him in certain instances, it does feel a bit like the Deshaun, you know, decrying the fans cheering. Some of that was performative.
For sure.
And I say that with really love good and respect.
At he's really good at the ad-libbing off the rip, like performative stuff.
Yeah, I think that can bite you back. I think that can hurt you too.
Yeah.
Because fake is the one thing that grown-ass adults in that locker room don't love. We've talked about E2W for 6 years now.
He was asked about that today, yeah.
People hated that. Like his teammates, Gerald McCoy.
I've asked about this. I brought this up at the beginning during the preseason because, who was it that?
Is it the podcast?
No, it was some. Maybe it was Matt Castle. I don't know. Somebody from the Patriots dynasties talked about how like they didn't need like these rah-rah speeches, but because they were grown-ass men and they knew like, hey, you know, you shouldn't need that to like get yourself fired up. But then they also said, actually, you know what? I think it was Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer said that you didn't need the rah-rah speeches because, you know, you're going out and playing football. If that's not motivation enough that you get to play this sport and, you know, you don't, you know, care about the game and you can't understand like this is your job, you got to play hard, then you're doing it wrong. And he was like, so I didn't need that stuff. But he was like, but the most profound moments that he remembered from his Patriots days was when like Tom Brady, who wasn't like rah-rah speech guy, would come out and like every now and then, like he did one in the Super Bowl where he was just like, you'll be remembered forever if you win this game tonight. And he was like, those are the ones that resonated because it was like out of the blue. And so I kind of asked the question like, doesn't Jameis' shtick get a little bit old for these guys in this locker room when he's out there talking about like CC's pizza parties and stuff like that during the preseason? And
so,
I know
yes.
It changes. I know he changes the message as he goes along. And I do think in those moments, like that's just genuinely him being him. That is like totally his element. He's just around his teammates. I thought the speech he gave pregame that the team put out where he was like in the little huddle and he said like, you play for the name on the back of your jersey, you play for the name on the front of the jersey and on your helmet. And,
yeah.
Well, we don't have decals, but let's just play for the Browns. Like that felt like it was Jameis like in his element. But like, I do think when the camera's on and like the Eminem thing after the game, there's no way you'll ever convince me he didn't think about it at some point. Like, at some point, I got to drop this line.
Well, but I think that, so one, in fairness to Jameis, and I really, because I think this is really important, I don't think there are a lot of quarterbacks that speak for every dude in the locker room. Like, yeah. I think one of the things I think was unfair with the Deshaun thing was, well, Deshaun, not everybody likes Deshaun. Yeah, it's an NFL locker room. That was weaponized against Baker, too.
Yeah.
Like,
not everybody likes every player.
And by the way, there's some quarterbacks, like, I guarantee you they were dudes that played with Tom Brady that hated it.
Yeah.
And, like, Baker even spoke to that in Tampa where he's like, yeah, I just want to make this fun again and all that kind of stuff. Like,
and then Tom Brady said
I think with the performative stuff with Jameis, and it is a slippery slope because I think it is well-intentioned.
Yeah.
I also think it's maybe him marketing himself for after football.
Yeah.
So I can also kind of glean that there might be other ideas behind this. But like, I think the problem is, I think if it comes off as fake, man, you lose some real good dudes in the process. And again, this is not a question I can answer.
No.
But like, I'll be honest with you. There are times where I watch those pregame things where I'm like, I don't believe this.
No.
Like, I think that's problematic if we talk about, can you do this more than... Because right now, dudes in the locker room are just happy that he's not Deshaun. Right now, dudes in that locker room are happy that he can complete a 30-yard pass and you can have like a good sustainable
Jerry
drive.
Jerry Jeudy, most notably.
But like we're talking about, well, two INTs versus two touchdowns, one INT versus three touchdowns. Dude, that's the same formula they're working with. Is it worth it? And I don't think with more austere guys or guys who have no personality like Tom Brady or who are just Tommy Tough Nuts like Tom Brady, I don't think you have the same like almost stakes of, do I buy into Jameis today or not? And I don't know if Jameis can control that, but I do think it's part of the conversation for the Browns.
Well, and let's just be honest, like part of this too, you mentioned it being like him marketing himself for like post-career. Some of this too is like the way that he's been able to avoid criticism for some of the seedy things that happened in his life. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. I'm not saying like people do bring those things up, but it is nowhere near as frequent as we bring it up with Deshaun Watson. And that's, again, relates back to why they brought him here in the first place, right? They wanted somebody who had dealt with some off-the-field issues that has now turned his image around, and part of turning that image around is the cutesy-dootsy pregame speeches that Jameis obviously has given you and the performative stuff that we see post-game, before the game, whatever. And so they wanted somebody to sort of come in and show Deshaun Watson, like, here's how I've done this. Here's how I show my personality. I'm not saying Deshaun ever picked up on that, because clearly he's still very defensive and reserved in his own way. But like, that all is at the premise of this as well. Is like, that's part of what Jameis is going to just kind of do and bring to the table.
I do think it's going to be very interesting to see how Browns fans, because we're talking about this from the player aspect, from the Browns aspect. Do you buy into what he's selling? Do you think it's authentic? I think it's a sliding scale. I also think it's going to be a sliding scale for the fans. And I think that's what makes this. Later in the show, we're going to talk. Albert Breer had some comments yesterday with us that he said the Browns are a dangerous team. Like, I'm happy they're no longer a danger to themselves. But the Jameis thing can be a powder keg. In the wrong context, in the wrong situation, if just having fun playing football and it being watchable, if at any point that goes the way of the dodo, I'm talking like if they actually get their way back into the playoff picture, there is a way that I think that this can start to turn on him. We're going to play on the way out. The question and answer earlier today where Jameis was asked about Eminem and the entire situation. You're going to hear the question and Jameis's answer there. This I actually did enjoy.
I have not heard from Eminem, but that is I encourage everyone to just have that mentality, because that's so true in all of our professions. Opportunities only come around once, and we have to be grateful and receive them with authority and make the most of them.